Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Church at Home. Let's ask a question. Can a nation turn from gross sin? Is there hope that America might repent? That the United Kingdom might repent? Australia, South Africa, and New Zealand might repent? The nations of Northwest Europe might repent? Because surely the hand of God and the correction of God is upon us because of our sins. For we are the descendants, the modern day descendants of the 10 tribes of Israel. So let's ask a question. Can a nation turn from gross sin? We can phrase it another way. What would it take from the people and the leaders of America to turn back the judgment of God against us? Now, we've had some good presidents. We've had some evil presidents. England has had Queen Elizabeth II reigning for, 60 years now, more? And it's kind of ironic that Queen Elizabeth I saw the rise of Britain to become the British Empire. And now Queen Elizabeth II is watching its demise coming right down into the pits of hell. Quite ironic, but can a nation turn from its gross sins? Well, we have an example of this in the Old Testament. In 2 Chronicles 33, we find the most wicked king, Manasseh. And he started out as a 12-year-old, and he reigned 55 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. It's like the abominations of the nations around. And he built high places, which his father Hezekiah had destroyed. And he was so presumptuous, so daring, that he built in the house of the Lord an altar to pagan gods and other altars. Later, the temple became encircled with little booths for homosexuals, right there at the temple of God. And he built altars to the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord where God said he'd place his name forever. Total rebellion and an effrontery to God. In his personal life, what did he do? He caused his sons to pass through the fire in the valley of the sons of Hinnom. He also observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with familiar spirits and with wizards into demonism, the occult, and did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger, and he led many people into sin. And because of his sins, much innocent blood was shed in Jerusalem. So God, in punishment against him, sent the king of Babylon, was the Assyrians who were occupying Babylon at that time, and came and took him off his throne, put him in chains, and put him in prison in Babylon. Well, there Manasseh repented, and God had him brought back and put on his throne, and he changed. He turned. He went out and destroyed the altars that he had put in the house of God. He cleaned it all up, but he didn't restore the people to God. His own actions were of one who had repented and returned to God from gross sin, but it took the punishment of being sent off into captivity to do it. Then his son Amnon reigned for 2 years, and he was twice as evil as his father, so evil that his own servants killed him. And then the people took his son Josiah at 8 years old and put him on the throne. While he was still young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. And in the 12th year of his reign, when he was 18, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And they broke down the altars of Baalim. This was quite a thing that they were doing. This shows what has to be done. And he cut down the images and those in the groves, scattered everything upon the graves of the people, and those who sacrificed to them. Then in the 18th year of his reign, he began to further purge the land, and he told Shaphan, who was the son of Azaliah, and also the governor of the city and the different ones, they came to Hilkiah the high priest and said, "Let's clean up the temple." So they started cleaning it up, getting rid of all of the debris, getting rid of all of the broken down altars, restoring the temple of God. And Hilkiah the priest finally got in to where the Ark of the Covenant was, buried, long lost, in the Holy of Holies. And he found the scroll of the book that Moses had written, probably Deuteronomy. And he gave it to Shaphan, and Shaphan brought it to Josiah. And he read in there all the curses that were coming upon Judah because of the sins of the people. And he read to him Deuteronomy 28, where God says, "Cursed shall you be in the field, cursed shall you be in the city, cursed shall you be when you come in and when you go out, because you did not hearken to my commandments or my statutes and my laws." And all of these curses were coming upon them, and they felt just absolutely overwhelmed and just oppressed. Now let's see what happened when Josiah heard these words. Verse 19, here's what happened. "And it came to pass when the king," that is King Josiah, "heard the words of the law, he tore his clothes," he just ripped them open, "in grief and in repentance for all that the people had done." Now, as I'm reading this, I want you to think about what would have to happen in London, in Washington, D.C., in the capital of Australia and New Zealand and South Africa, and the capital cities where the children of Israel are today. The president, the prime minister, the religious leaders would all have to gather and repent. And he tore his clothes, and he heard these things, heard the words and the curses that were coming, sure judgment from God that they were going into captivity. He was going to send the Babylonians against them and get rid of all of them and send them into exile because of their sins. So when he heard this, he told them, verse 21, "Go inquire of the Lord from me and for those who were left in Israel and Judah concerning the words of the book that have been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do according to all that is written in the book." And so they went to Huldah, the prophetess. Very interesting. A faithful woman at the temple who took care of the wardrobe. And she knew all the sins that were going on. And probably her heart grieved her that these things were going. She probably prayed every day to God, saying, "Oh God, when?" So when the messenger came and said, "The king has sent me, wants to know, are these words going to be executed against us? He has ripped his clothes. He has prayed to God. Tell us what will happen." And she answered, verse 23, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon its people, even all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah." And so Josiah repented. It got to his heart. Do you feel pricked in your heart because of seeing all the things that are going on? Well, I hope and pray that our leaders will. I hope and pray that those who profess Christianity and profess to know God will also turn to God with all their hearts, like Josiah did. But here's why the judgments were coming, God said, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense to other gods, so that they might provoke me to anger with the works of their hands. And my wrath shall be poured upon this place, and it shall not be quenched. So judgment is coming. Josiah knew it. But could he turn back the hand of God and his judgment even temporarily? Verse 26, "And as for the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall you say to him, thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the words that you have heard." Now this becomes very important because you see, change and repentance and turning from sin can happen at any time. But it requires a tender heart. And it requires repentance to God. And we'll talk about what is true and real repentance. Now, Josiah had that kind of repentance. So here was the message. Verse 27, "Because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before your God when you heard the words against this place and against its people, and humbled yourself before me and tore your clothes and wept before me, I have even heard you also, says the Lord." Now, this was a turning point, and it was a change. And as we will see, because of the deeds of this one king, God held back his judgment and destruction, which he said was coming. Just like he promised Jeremiah. He told Jeremiah, "You run to and fro in the streets of Jerusalem and see if you can find a man, one man, who would do justice, and I will pardon everything." Well, that one man was Josiah. Let's read on. Verse 28. "Behold, I will gather you to your fathers," that is, you will live your life, "and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, nor shall your eyes see the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon its people." And he brought the word to the king again. Isn't that something? Now, let's see what he did. He didn't say, "Oh, thank you. Thank you for recognizing my repentance." No, he took action. Repentance requires action. And that's what Josiah did. And this is a tremendous lesson for us. If our president, vice president, the cabinet, all the congressional leaders, all the governors, all the state houses, if they would all do the same thing as Josiah, the clock could be turned back and the judgment of God against us would have a reprieve. Because Josiah took action. Let's see what action that he took. And let's see what would be effective if what I just said would happen. This would also require all those who profess Christianity to get rid of their idols, their crosses, their statues, their rosaries, and all of these things that they have which are not of God, and come before God with a true repentant heart, just like Josiah. So he said, wrote here concerning the king, "And the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem." Be like the president repenting and saying, "All right, I want all the governors of the United States to come here, every single one, because I have a message from God, and I want you to go back to your states, and I want you to do thus and such." "And the king went up to the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and the people of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites and all the people from the great to the small. And he read in their ears the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord." Told him, here's what God has said. Here's why these things are coming upon us. We need to repent. We need to change. We need to turn from our ways. We need to go back and expunge all of these evil laws that we have on the books. And we need to institute right laws. We need to honor God. We need to set aside the day of worship for God because we have had the fable of the separation of church and state turned into the separation of people from God. Now, if they do that, that would be a tremendous thing. Now, verse 31, "And the king stood by his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And we have the words of the new covenant today as well, don't we? That could happen. What are the chances? Very slim. What were the chances here? Slim to none. But if there would be enough people, enough politicians and judges and religionists, if there would be those in business, if there would be those in public service, if they would all resolve to stop their evil and corruption and return to God and keep his commandments, God would stop back his hand of correction just like that. But if not, it's going to come. So here's what he did. And he caused all who were found, verse 32 now, in Jerusalem and Benjamin and the people of Jerusalem to stand to it according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. Then he took action. That's what would have to be. Action to get rid of sin. Get rid of the laws which allow sin. All of the religionists, get rid of the statues and idols and crucifixes. Get rid of the false occult holidays that you keep. Sunday and Christmas and Easter and New Year's and all of the abominations of the pagans. That's a lot. But that's what it would take. Notice what Josiah did. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the territories that belonged to the children of Israel, and he made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God, all his days. They did not depart from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. And then what did he do? To bring them back to God, he caused them all to keep the Passover. And to come to God, to confess their sins, to get rid of their idols, to get rid of their lawlessness. And God blessed them. And they had a tremendous Passover. And you see, Passover is returning to the God that brought them out of the land of Egypt. And for all of those who look to Christ, he was crucified on the Passover day. In 30 AD. So if you want to come back to God, you've got to keep the true Christian Passover today, just like Josiah kept the Passover here to bring the people back to God. So it's possible. They can turn. They can change. Now we'll look at another example of what happened to the nation of Nineveh, and that's found in the book of Jonah. That was quite a thing. You know, Jonah didn't want to go. He did not want to go. So he ran off, got on a ship, said, well, I'm going to avoid God because I know if I go there, they'll repent. Well, he couldn't get out of going to Nineveh. So you know what happened there. Well, Jonah, he was on this ship. There is a great storm. They said, why has this come upon us? And so they prayed and said, Lord, why has this come upon us? And it narrowed down to Jonah. And they came to him and said, what is this that you have done? And in order to calm the storm, they took Jonah, threw him overboard, and God had already prepared a great fish to swallow him up, to take him to Assyria, to go to Nineveh, and proclaim repentance to the people. Now, he was in the belly of that big fish 3 days and three nights. Now, we don't know what kind of fish it was, but I tell you what, that must have been a smelly experience and total darkness. You know, hello, Lord, I'm hearing this fish. Yes, Jonah, I caused it. I'm sending you to Assyria and to Nineveh because I want you to warn them of their sins that they may repent, that they may change. Now here's a Gentile nation knowing nothing of God. Yet God was dealing with them. Yet God was judging them. But he wanted to give them a warning. So after being in the belly of the fish, Jonah prayed to him and cried out to him. And God said, all right, I'll let you out. So the fish came up and vomited him up on the shore. Then God said to him, Jonah, here's what I want you to do. Jonah 3. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out to it the proclamation that I am declaring to you. And Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And Nineveh was a very great city, 3 days' journey across. So then Jonah was doing what God said he should do. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried aloud and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Well, not like a lot of people today. People today are saying, look, this nation is going under. Look, we owe trillions of dollars. How are we going to pay for it? We're so polarized in many different camps. Are we going to come apart as a nation? And people are divided. And people are sinful. How are we going to stop this? What can change? Well, notice what happened. If you hear a message from the Word of God, we need to do like the people of Nineveh. And the people believed God. Now notice, it was Jonah who was preaching, but it said they believed God, which means this. If anyone hears the Word of God, properly spoken from the Bible, by anyone who is teaching and preaching, and it is in truth, and you believe it, you're believing God. So it says, they believed God. Not believed in God, they believed God. And they believed the message that in 40 days, sure enough, Nineveh was going to fall. Now notice what happened. And they proclaimed a fast. That's what we need to do. We need to have National Day of Prayer and fasting and putting away sin and putting away lying and cheating and adultery, fornication, homosexuality, of coming against our neighbors. We need to put away murdering, and we need to put away all of those things that we are doing as a people. Not only did they fast, and they put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least. Even the elite humbled themselves. Now, can you imagine? Can you imagine? Let's just take, for example, all the elite from Harvard and Columbia, all of the professors, all believing God and fasting in sackcloth and ashes and repenting. What a phenomenon that would be, wouldn't it, huh? That's what it would take. Now notice, verse 6, for the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne and laid aside his robe from him and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. What a tremendous thing. Even the king, do you realize what he was saying, what he was demonstrating when he got off his throne? He was admitting that God is in charge, not me. He was admitting that my sins as king have reached unto heaven. And he repented in sackcloth and ashes with the people. Then he sent out a proclamation, verse 7, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his great one, saying, let not man or beast, herd or flock taste anything, and do not let them feed nor drink water. Total fast. This is quite a fast, isn't it? Yes, proclaimed by the king. This shows that political leaders have a duty before God to do what is right and proclaim what is right and quit leading people into sin, to get off their throne, to get off their high horse, to get off their great elite pedestals on which they have exalted themselves and repent to God. And Nineveh was a nation that did not have the law of God. God came to the children of Israel, not the Assyrians. And yet God was judging them. And yet they understood the message. And yet they repented. What about us, the descendants of the 10 tribes of Israel? Will we hear? Or are we going to still be a gainsaying and revolting people? Choices are right ahead of us, but it's possible. It's possible for a country and nation to turn from gross sin. And he said, verse 8, but let man and animal be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Let them each one turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who knows, he wrote. God may repent and he may have pity and turn away from his fierce anger so that we do not perish. Tremendous example. Did God respond? Does God recognize repentance by anyone, anywhere, at any time, if they really, truly turn from their sins? Yes, he does. That's the answer of what would have to happen here. And in any nation facing the same things that we are. Now notice, will God hear? Will God listen? Yes. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do to them, and he did it not. And history shows that they continued yet another 120 years before God had to bring the judgment upon them again. The fate of this nation rests in the hands of the people and the leaders to turn to God. If we turn to God, we can turn back the correction and his anger that is against us for our sins. So it's possible. That is the good news. It can be done. But it's a mighty, mighty, mighty task. So this is Fred Colter. Thank you for inviting me into your home for Church at Home. And please download any of the articles that we have available for you and go to our other website, cbcg.org, or write us at Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, zip code 95024-1442. So till next time, this is Fred Colter saying, so long, everyone.